Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to our show. Let's talk a real talk with me, Apostle Angela, and my co-host, my prophet, Lovely. Are you there?
I'm here, Lovely.
Good, good, good. We haven't been here a minute, but I'm excited. I don't know what God wants to do, how he's going to do it, but we are open. So just let him have his way.
Amen.
Miss you guys. We back on track. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. We had an awesome time at the conference, and then it was Easter, but now a new day has dawned. Hallelujah. And tonight
Hallelujah.
We'll be talking about letting go all that dead weight. Go ahead, Lovely. Hit us up.
Amen. Amen. Hi, Lovely. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm better now. You're doing things of God.
Yes. Amen. We're going to open up in prayer. We're excited to come back and be back and refreshed and and God is just doing some things in the lives of his people, and he's also looking for us to let go of some stuff, some heavy stuff that seems to be holding us back. So we're excited about whatever it is, like you said, that God wants to do tonight. So we're going to open up in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this awesome time, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have called us for such a time as this to be your mouthpiece in the earth. God, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. God, we thank you, Father, for loving us, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for your breath of fresh air that you have breathed into our bodies. Father, we thank you for salvation. God, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for your love and kindness. God, we thank you for your peace. You are Jehovah Shalom, God, and you have been such a peace in our lives over these past couple of weeks, God, and we thank you for that, God. We thank you, Father, that tonight that the hearts of those who are open to receive are going to be touched, and after your Holy Spirit has spoken through your servants, God, we believe, Father, that they're going to walk away from tonight's show, Father God, without walking in fear and letting go of anything that is holding them down and keeping them from being the vessels, the servants that you have called them to be in the earth in this hour. Father, forgive us, Lord God, for anything we have done that is not pleasing to you. And we thank you for your blood, Father God. We thank you for covering us. God, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you the highest praise. And we say hallelujah. And glory to your precious holy name, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Okay.
Amen. Amen, amen.
So, can you hear me good, Lovey?
I can hear you. I can hear you excellent.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I'm old school, and so when they give me an earpiece to use, I feel like something falling on my ear. But praise the Lord.
I heard you.
Oh my God! Praise the Lord for his updated technology. Yeah.
you're coming through your power and might.
Okay. All right, lovey, jump in. I'm excited. Let's roll. Let's go. Let's do it. Praise the Lord.
The Lord, Pastor Keisha, you with us?
Amen. Amen.
I just want to
boo.
What the Lord was just
Why
the Lord
my
was,
baby?
Was talking to me about, because I was at work and I was like, God, why are you not speaking? You know, I need to know so that I can be effective. And he was just ministering to me so much dead weight that we carry, and it bogs us down. And this walk that we walk is like a marathon. We are in a race, and we have a prize, and which is eternal life, and to see Christ Jesus and spend eternity with the Trinity. So we know that we have an adversary, an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But we also have this flesh, oh my Lord, that warns against the spirit. It is enmity against the spirit. It doesn't want the things of God, because it has to behave itself, and the Holy Spirit takes full control of us. This flesh got to yield. So his fight is that we be rebellious and fight against the Holy Spirit, that we walk in oppression, we walk in fear and unbelief. That the flesh will like that, and the enemy will love that. Amen. Mm-hmm. We got so much going on sometimes that we got baggage and weight, and we don't even know it.
Right.
Because we can be our greatest weight. We.
Right.
And what we want, what we desire, can be our greatest weight. You might be in a relationship that God does not want you to be in, but you still hold on. You could be in a ministry or in a position that God does not want you to be in, but you still hold on. And when you're walking in disobedience in this walk, and you're walking in disobedience, the Holy Spirit is not effective in your life. So you feel kind of a way. You feel kind of bound down because what when you are serving God and you're doing it the way God has orchestrated or how God has planned, it becomes easy. I know you get attacked. I know, but it gets easier. But when you're out the wheel, you get bogged down. Go ahead, Lovey.
That's true. You know, and when we're operating in the things that God hasn't called us to operate in, we do become ineffective. And not only that, we hold on to things, as you were saying, we're holding on to things dead weight that's not only keeping us from getting to our spiritual destination, but it's also keeping us from getting to reaching our goals and achievements that God has set in order for us as well. In relationships, you know, women and men, basically we're the same thing. You know, the men sometimes, not all of them, but the men sometimes are so busy looking at the outside of the body that they go for the one, you know, they've got the outside of the body all together and the inside is all jacked up. And then when God sends the woman, you know what I mean, that is specifically for him, he can't see that because he's holding on to the flesh. He's holding on to the lust. He got a lusting spirit going on. And so he can't find the woman that God has for him because he's too busy looking on the outside. And the same thing with the females. You know, the females, well, us ladies, we want that fine, tall Joe Brown who got it going on, and then he got it going on, but he ain't got nothing going on when it comes to the things of God. And so, you know, we need to get out of that mentality that we're just looking at the flesh on the outside. What is it that God is saying? Who is it that God wants to be in our lives? Who is that man that God wants you to marry? Who is that woman that God wants you to marry? You understand what I'm saying? And so we're holding on to what the world has because the world can offer you. I mean, if you look at the magazines, you barely even see, you know, people in magazines who are nice and healthy and still have a beautiful personality, and that is a big hindrance to people who are, you know, of size. But, you know, a lot of those women have some beautiful personalities, and not just those in size. You know, some of the women, you know, our mentality is like some men mentality are like, well, I want me a light-skinned woman. You know, well, is that light-skinned woman the woman of God that, you know, that he has placed in your life, that he wants to place in your life? And the same thing with, you know, the same thing with the ladies. You know, I used to like the light-skinned men, but, you know, some of them light-skinned men are kind of jacked up. But at the same token, you know, because I was looking at what I wanted to look at, and then I had that thing that I was holding on to with my dad. My dad was a high yellow. He was really, really light-skinned, and I remember what he took my mom through. But, you know, God had to heal me from that and show me that all light-skinned men aren't like that. All light-skinned men aren't quick-tempered. And so God had to, you know, he had to break that thing off of me because I was thinking, you know, that right there was keeping me from being in a relationship, and now he blessed me with a dark-skinned chocolate king. You understand what I'm saying? And so I had to allow God to remove that from me, and that was a hindrance, which was a dead weight, because I was afraid to get in the relationship, a steady relationship with a man of God that was a little bit darker than me, because there was a fear there, but God moved that. And so, you know, I say all of that to say this: when we're looking for God to do some things in our lives, we have to be willing to let go of Joe Blow and Susie Honeysucker or whatever you want to call her name, you know what I mean? And then we got to be willing to let go of the places that we go to or used to go to that pulls us back into that thing that we used to do that brings back those familiar spirits, because they hang on. And once they hang on, they pull us down. That's a dead weight that we need to kick to the curb. But the only way we can kick that to the curb is if we walk in faith and not in fear, because we're so fearful of what other people are going to say. And that holds us down, that keeps us back from moving into the things of God. And that's a hindrance in our life. And we can't help nobody if we're bogged down with a whole bunch of mess ourselves.
Amen. Amen. That's really cool what you just said. Because I had issues too with a certain type of man that I wanted and how he looked. And then when I got him, they wasn't about nothing. Sorry, I'm not saying that all the because I like a man that is really sharp, and he dressed well, and he carried himself well. Even when I got saved, I wanted a man that's sharp. I'm not into if he's light skin or I don't like him too dark. I don't want him to be dark and all this baloney. But it's not about that. It's about who God wants you to be with, as you just said. See, we got it twisted. When we are in God, God has orchestrated. Some people feel like God can't pick your mate. I think God can do whatever if you belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
God can
mm-hmm.
tell you, you know what, Tom is best for you. And I know you're looking at Bob, but Bob does not have the quality to perfect the ministry that I've called you to do. But this man right here, now, because remember, marriage is ministry. So
right.
Now hold on to him. You might not like how he's looking, because you can have a man that's all fine and look and got on a nice suit, and he's going to be hell on wheels. He got his own weight. He's angry and he's bitter and he has resentment. And then what's going to happen to you when he's covering up, when his personality is sweet and he's looking good and smelling good? But then when you say the I do, it happened to me, so I know 3 months down the line, the real character comes. That's why we have to wait on God, get rid of all the weights from our past, and, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that. When you come to God, you should be free and open. See, what the problem with us is that we have weight, and the weight is I want what I want. So when I go to mm-hmm. God and pray, it's still letting go the weight, letting go everything, and just go to God empty and let him fill up. We don't do it like that.
Right.
We have our own agenda and what we want. I know what I'm talking about, Lovey, because I do it. I did it. And even now, God got to rebuke me sometimes when I say, well, I want to do that. He said, excuse me? What? You was born with what? You know, sometimes I got lips, and God has to smack my lips off. Meaning he got to check me. People wouldn't want to say that. People wouldn't want to say that. When God gives them instructions, they were like, I don't want to do that. There's times that we, this flesh, don't want to be obedient. And rebellion and disobedience is a big way. It slows us
mm-hmm.
down. Come on now. We that have lack of faith. I was talking to a friend, Lovey. Check this out, okay? I was talking to a friend today. And me and her was in the car, and we were just giving a little talk. And, you know, I was saying, you know, if God would tell you, you know, to move to Texas now, what would you do? What would your husband do? And she said to me, well, I don't know about no Texas. I don't know about that. I can't remember the exact thing she said. But in other words, I said to her, you see why God can't use most of the people in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm,
we got our
mm-hmm.
own opinion. We got our
right.
own way of doing things. We don't embrace the will and the purpose of God. We got our own agenda, which is heavyweight of Angela. I want what Angela is the biggest weight I got. See, we don't TJ got up and moved when God said move. Abraham, which is Abram, got up and left his kinsmen, left everything, and moved forward in the Lord. Because it's not about us, it's about others. And we are so burdened down with ourselves and what we want, and how we want it, and where we're going to live, and who we're going to marry. I want this, I want that. How about taking some time to deal with you and your issues, and ask God to renew a right spirit within Angela?
Right.
Lord, I don't want to think that way. I want to be obedient. Disobedience is a heavy weight to carry, because when you're carrying it, you're out the will of God, and you're not under his protective custody, because God's way is already blessed. He's
mm-hmm.
already blessed. He's gone before us. Listen to what the Bible says. He's gone before us and make the crooked way straight and the rough edges smooth. He's paving the way for us. But when we are sidetracked with what we want and how we want it, how's he going before us? We're going the
right.
other way. But he's already making the way. Come on now. He's already
right.
making the way. We have to change our mindset. If God was to say to me, I want you to move to Timbuktu, and trust me, daughter, I should be so light and so connected to God that I trust God. But fear is a dead weight. Fear comes for the unknown. People fear the unknown, Lovey. So listen, we are familiar with the light-skinned guys, the dark skinned guy, they did this, they did that. I want this, I want that. I want to live in Orlando, Florida, because I'm used to that. I want to stay in Boston, I'm used to that. I want to move someplace that I used to live before because I'm used to that. But when you are in God, God directs you. And you've got to follow. But what happens is we're so weighed down with us and what we want and our perceptions of things that we can't follow Christ like we should.
Right.
The Bible says to take up your cross and follow. Do you know?
Yeah.
That means you're going to get instructions, and you must follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit, not follow the instructions of Angela in my flesh, but follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to take a lot of courage, lovey. So you can't walk in fear. You can't walk in fear when it comes to it. And I know that fear does come. When you have to go out in a gender or a new place, fear does come. But you cannot allow fear to dominate. Faith got to dominate. When you belong to God, you got to be able to drop everything if God says drop it. Because you know what? What you hold on to, you're going to lose anyhow. If you obey God, you become a loser. You are really buried in dead weight when you are outside the God. Am I making sense?
You're making much sense. You're making a lot of sense. I was hearing God say, with that fear thing, we talk about fear a lot because it seems to be running rapid in the earth amongst the people of God. And, you know, when you're in right standings with God, you're not going to allow yourself to walk in fear. You know, it might strike up a little bit, but you quickly knock that thing down. But I was hearing God say, you know, that a lot of the dead weight of some of his people, and, you know, his people, when I mean people in general, some of his people are not, they're walking in dead weight. They're saying, we're saying, and I got to stop saying they because we are one. But we're walking. However, we're holding on to stuff. It's like a person going to check their baggage in to the hotel, and they got all of this baggage on both sides, and it's so heavy. They're walking in front, and they're dragging the baggage behind them. And every time they take a left step and a right step, they're rocking from side to side because that stuff is heavy. Now, the thing of it is, before we packed that stuff, it was okay with us, but then God said, I need you to leave that here. I need you to go in that bag and leave that there. I need you to pull out of that suitcase and unload some of that stuff and leave that here because it can't go. Where I'm taking you, it can't go. And we're steady packing and packing. And by the time we get out the car and go to the door to drag the stuff in, we're just tired just from lifting up the left foot and the right foot. So it's hard for us to put one foot, the left foot, in front of the right foot because all of that baggage that God told us, 50% of that he said leave there. It can't go. But because we say we wanted it to go, oh, Lord, I need those 20 pair of shoes. No, you don't. Oh, Lord, I need 10 pair of outfits. I got to change. You're only going to be there 2 days, but I need those 10 outfits. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need this. I need 20 people to go with me when God says I need you to take 2 people with you. But, Lord, I need 20 people because I need the praise team. I need half of the congregation. I need sister down the street and brother over there on the other side of the hill. I need all of these people to go. And God said, I need you to take 2 people. That's it. And then we get there, and we can't move. Nothing is operating in order. The Holy Spirit is not activated because we operated in rebellion. We were disobedient. We went against the instructions that God gave us, and therefore that weight is heavy. See, some of the weight that we carry is unnecessary. We ask for it when we disobeyed God. So what we got, because we acted out of rebellion, we have a spirit of heaviness. When we didn't have to have that spirit, a lot of the stuff that we walk into, we don't have to walk into it. It's a lot by choice. You know, we hold on to stuff sometimes because we choose to hold on to stuff. God tells, He said, if we lay it at his feet, that's why he tells us, we can come to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in our time of need at any given time, which means I don't have to wait until I'm bogged down. When that thing hit me and I said, Lord, I'm having a hard time getting rid of this unforgiveness. Lord, I'm having a hard time to get rid of this jealousy. Lord, I'm having a hard time getting rid of this man. I'm having a hard time getting rid of this woman. Lord, I'm having a hard time to get rid of myself so that I can operate in you. Father, help me. And when we start talking to the Lord like that before we pack up all that stuff and take it on our back, then God will be able to meet us where he is. He's going to meet us anyway. But we have then allowed, we have then caused ourselves to not move in a situation where we could have avoided. So some of the stuff that we take on, some of the stuff that we hold on to is by choice. But we have to let it go. We have to get out of that mindset. We have to have the things that we want to have. We have to ask God, God, what it is that you want me to have. Who it is that you want me to take? Who it is that you want me to leave? And that's what we struggle with. When we talk about leaving stuff, it's not too many of us that wants to leave stuff, especially when we think it's good. So we not talked about that before. Everything is good is everything that is good is definitely not God.
You better say
so
that.
It's a choice. You know, it's a choice, Lovey. You know, just like, you know, we have a choice. We can decide whether we want to further our education. We have a choice to decide if we want to get up in the morning and go to work or whatever we do. We have a choice to decide if we want to, we even have a choice if we decide we want to be kind to someone. That's a choice. That's not an attitude.
Amen.
Some people say, I've been, you know, I've been like this all of my life. Okay, and? But is that pleasing to God? Is that the reason why your blessings is hindered because of that bad attitude? You know, we hold on to stuff, and we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt the people around us because we hold on to unnecessary dead weight. And a lot of the things that we hold on to are by choice. If we just can get into the presence of God and not rush him through the healing process, like you said at the conference, it's morning. We can celebrate our morning. Morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, morning. So,
morning.
You know, it's a lot of the things that we hold on to that are by choice, sometimes because of fear, and then sometimes, you know, because of what others will say, what others will think. But my thing is, when we leave this earth and it's time for us to stand before the Father, none of those people that we disobeyed God for are not going to be there. It's going to be a you and a God thing. And so my question is, who is our God? Is those people our God? Or is the great Jehovah our God? Is Yahweh our God? Is the great I Am our God, the one, the Alpha and Omega? Is he our God? Or is these paid people around us who's constantly telling us how we should hold on to stuff when we're saying, hey, I got to let you go. I love you, but I got to let you go. And even with ourselves, you know, we ourselves have some stuff where it's our accountability. We are held accountable to let some stuff go. We can't blame everything on everybody else all the time. We have to be accountable for our own actions and our own decisions and our own choices. Amen.
Amen. And as I said before, prior, is that this walk is like a marathon, and we want to be champions. Win. I know I want to win. I want to hear, well done, my true and faithful servant. And in that process of getting there, I don't want anything to hinder me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the right time, in the right standing, and in the right place with God. Yeah. If God wants me to be in Texas next year, I don't want to be in Boston. Because now I'm bound down now. I'm out the will and the purpose of God, and I'm wondering why I'm so unhappy. Why the people on my job is acting a fool? Why is this? What's going on? And God says the anointing has left that assignment. You see?
Right.
So we got to be careful that we don't hold on to things and people and places, come on, somebody, that God has released from us already, and we're holding on and not operating in the anointing, and we seek a Messiah, and we don't go through the process of just barely being there, and God is not in it. We got to be in the right place at the right time, in the right standing with God, meaning that all the old baggage, and I let go everything. Lord God, I died to my desires and my wants. You know, we get to a place where we get to the altar, we say, God, here I am, use me. And then when something occurs or we want something that God says let go, oh, man,
we grab onto it. Oh, God, I don't know if I can make it without them. Oh, my God, I don't know if I can make it without my job. Oh, my God. But you know what's so amazing? But can we make it without God? When God speaks, we should fear him, reverence him, and move. I understand that fear can sometimes be strong, but the anointing and the power that we that's inside with us, inside of us, is stronger than anything. With Christ, I can do all things. Come on now. With Christ, I can make right decisions. You said that we have choices, and yes, I don't care what nobody says. God is not going to force us to do anything. Nobody else can force us unless we give in our will to it. Now, when Satan possesses us, is that we have opened the door and we have let him in. So now we can control. But we gave him that control. Come on. Because it first starts out with a thought. He plants seeds in your mind. And then we agree with him. Then we become one with him. And then that thing takes full charge of us. In order to make progress, we have to allow ourselves to degress and let God progress in us. We got to let go of how we feel. And we are so emotional. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we can get emotional. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do, God? And I know. I've been there. And you know, after all, and I know somebody probably heard this story already. After I got through boohooing and crying, the Lord said to me, now are you going to do what I told you to do? All that crying didn't matter to God. All that snotting didn't matter to God. All that talking to him for an hour did not mean anything to God. What moved God is obedience. When I obey him and I do it through faith.
Right.
That makes our Father say, look at my child.
Right.
But when I change God in doubt and unbelief, when God has spoken and I want 50 confirmations because my flesh don't really want to do it, I want to hold on to this. We look for people. I don't know if you've ever been there, lovey, but I look for people to agree with Angela. And if a person don't agree with Angela, I hang up the phone, try to find another person that will tell me to hold on to this mess.
Yeah.
Come on now. And then I become
friends
with that person that's a yes man and not give me word. And give me a stiff kick in my butt and tell me, go forward and do the will of the Father. But we want yes men and yes women in our lives. Oh, yes, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You are, if you're out the will of God, you are walking in a dangerous place. It's called danger. You are walking in a danger zone because now the protection of God is where. He's already paid your walk for you. Come on now. And fear does come, as I say, but we can rebuke it and we can get rid of that heavy weight because fear paralyzes you.
Yes,
fear has you immobile where you cannot move, where you cannot think straight. Oh my goodness, your heart's racing. Your mind is going 50 miles per hour. And you are, so many things are coming in and out, supposing this happened, supposing that happened, supposing, supposing, supposing. And when you are in that place, in that zone of fear, faith cannot operate. And now your progress has slowed down. You're feeling heavy. You're feeling confused. Come on. You're frustrated. Look all the spirits that fear brings with it. Anxiety. High blood pressure. Come on, mom. Your head hurts. Come on. It brings the spirit of pain. Oh, everything aching. Come on, you shaking. Because fear has arrived and faith has left.
And
now
faith
you
has
are bound down until you make up your mind and to say, God, for truly for you I live. Because we are no longer living, lovey. It is Christ that lives in us.
That's right.
But we don't get it sometimes. Because Angela, in her thinking, and her flesh, wants the answer, and it becomes dead weight. Angela becomes the dead weight in Angela's life. We can't do that.
Right.
We got to die daily. We got to die daily. And yes, You might want that fine hunk of a man. Yes, you might want that booming sister. But that girl right over there who might not have much going on the outside, not that she's ugly, but she might be a powerhouse to rock your ministry. Come on now. She might be that woman that when you mess up, she's not going to yell at you. You ain't about nothing. She'll be saying, okay, baby, let's pray. She'll be that woman man, that encourages you, that push you, that when you're sick will feed you. I know for a fact, and I ain't promoting Angela, if I got a man of God that is my man of God, if he had two legs off when we are married, I will make sure he's okay because God gave me the man of God. See, we got to be careful what we choose because we don't know what's down the future. And and God knows what's down the future. The booming body ain't going to help you if you're sick and she about herself or vice versa. We got to know that we hear God in all our – I don't know why I'm speaking about relationships, but we got to know that we know God. When God said it, it is it. We cannot deviate from what God is saying. God knows – listen, you know what, Mommy, you know what's so amazing about us as Christians? I was talking about this, and then you can chime in. We listen to God and hear the plan. And we're like, it's all exciting. We're excited about the plan. And then trouble hits. Listen to this, lovey. And all of a sudden, trouble hits. We begin to question the plan. Mm-hmm. We begin to say, was this really God? I can't believe God will allow this to happen to me. I'm a child. That man ain't for me. That woman, no way. That church ain't for me. Oh, that pastor ain't for me. We begin to question God. Like if God got up and said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that Angela was like that. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know Paul would behave that way. Oh, no. God knew everything before it happened. Listen, sometimes you encounter bad situations to get you where you need to go, to promote you. You know, sometimes when I go through the worst situations in my life, the stronger I come out, the better person I am, the more Angela dies. So because you're in a situation where it looks like it's bad, but God sent you there, don't run through the fire. When you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the waters, they will not overtake you. Because you have problems does not mean it is not God.
It is not right.
Joseph, it was God when he was in the pit. Come on. But he went from that pit into a palace.
Yes, he did.
Come on now. And it was God. Pit, prison, come on. Me in prison? Listen, sometimes you got to go through to get through.
Right.
And sometimes it's not pretty. But when you get on the other end, you will shout for joy and thank God that he brought you through and say, Lord, I thank you for my gift. I thank you, Lord God, for all that I've been through. We don't know the future, so we got to let go of things that the Lord is orchestrating and telling us, instructing us to do and orchestrating it and pulling us away from things. Sometimes God pulls you and allow things to happen. We got to listen to God. Stay when God says stay. And go when God says
go. And go when he says go. Amen.
And go ahead, girl. I don't want to dominate.
Amen. You good. I'm taking it all in. You good. just listening. You know, I'm just always listening. I've been telling you. But anyway, as I was listening and I was hearing God say, it's not so much of the dead weight. It's the letting go part that gets us. See, the dead weight can hang on all we want to, but the fact of the matter is whether we let it go or not becomes an issue if it's dead weight. See, if we don't let it go, then it's going to continue to be dead weight. So we have to let that go. So the whole point of is letting it go. And, you know, even with the challenge of it, when you're holding on to that weight and we're going through that challenge, it's not the weight that bears us down. It's the attitude that bears us down that we express and that we show and that we have on us as we go through the challenge, because the lesson is in the challenge. The lesson is not in the mountain. It's in the challenge.
you know, and so how we react and act to things while we call, you know, God's letting go of that dead weight, you know. Some people, they, you know, when I was being delivered from the drug scene, and some people were like, you know, how they get the chills and shakes and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to tell you, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, it was one of those things where it took the power of God, you know, to get me through that. But it was there was some dead weight I had to let go of. And my attitude was that I'm going to get clean. That was my attitude. My attitude wasn't focused on the pain that I was feeling, the pain that my body was feeling as I was going through the transformation. I mean, the attitude, you know, I had to really, really trust God in that thing. You know what I mean? Because the pain was crucial. It was horrible on my body. It was horrible on my mind. It was horrible on my thought process. But my whole mind was thinking, in spite of what I'm going through, in spite of what I'm experiencing, the DDT, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, all I know is God wants to get me clean. I want to get clean because at the time, all I could see was my babies. That's it. And so I went through it with a positive attitude, and that's how some of us are. You know, it may not be the drug thing that you're being delivered from. You know, it could be anything. It could be something like, you know, God is moving you, as you were saying, from one city to another. You know, it could be something as simple as one moving from one job to another. Some people have been working a job for 20 years, and God said, your time's up, and bam, then he send you another job that give you all the benefits and everything else, you know what I mean? But the main point of it is he's sending you there to minister. But because we're looking at where we've been in the comfort zone for so long, we don't want to go there, and all of a sudden we hyperventilate, we start tripping and doing all kinds of stuff, you know. But it's the attitude that God is looking at. How are we going to handle God delivering us from holding on to that dead weight? Because you know what, when we look at it at the end of the day, it's not about what we go through as we release those things to God. It's about allowing God to release those things from us, to remove that dead weight so that we can be useful to someone else, because somebody else got some more dead weight that they don't even know how to get rid of. But as they witness us being delivered and letting go of some stuff and moving on and expanding and advancing in the kingdom, they look at us and say, well, you know what? I believe that. And they hear our testimony. I believe God. And they can witness what it is that God has done for us and know that God can do it for them as well. So it takes us back to letting go. What are we going to let go of? And what kind of attitude are we going to have as we let go of that dead weight?
Amen. Amen. Lovey, there's someone, my girlfriend, Dee from Maryland, she wants to chime in. And anybody else that wants to chime in, right, you have to press 1. We are going to give you this opportunity. If Lovey don't mind, because, you know.
Go ahead. Amen. Go ahead.
Hello. Okay, praise Dee? The Lord. Yes, praise the Lord.
Praise him.
I'm just gravitating, eating, chewing it up. Awesome, awesome. And as you all were saying, that I was thinking about Lot and his wife,
mm-hmm.
and how God had instructed Lot to take his family, move out, and Lot told his wife and his girls and them, you know, we got to go, but we can't look back. Because mm-hmm. you look back, you turn into a pillar of salt. And they went on, and Lot's wife looked back, and she became that pillar of salt. And you wonder, okay, why did she look back? And as you all were saying, because she was looking back to what she was familiar with,
mm-hmm.
with what she was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not trusting God to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that became her, you know, that pillar of salt because of trust, but not of not trusting God and not trusting that God is taking you to a better place.
Amen. What it is. That's what it is.
It's not trusting God that
God is taking us to somewhere better. We don't
mm-hmm.
trust.
Mm-hmm.
We don't trust. To become familiar with something and comfortable with something, it's like a comfortable shoe. But you know
mm-hmm.
what?
In order for that shoe to be comfortable, it had to be new.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
had to be new before. So it's not. It's okay to try new things. Move forward
mm-hmm.
and not backwards. Don't be stagnated. Don't lose
mm-hmm.
your progress because of fear
mm-hmm.
and sin and unbelief. God got
mm-hmm.
great things before. He says he has a plan and a future and a hope for us. And you know what hope
yeah.
is? Come on now. Hope ignites
yeah.
fear, a faith. It ignites it
yeah.
because you're hoping and you're looking and you're expecting. I'm loving this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Go ahead, girl.
You say it's forgetting those things which are behind,
mm-hmm.
that we're pressing towards the high
right.
mark of the high court. We are pressing towards some, so we got to forget those things which are behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like I said, because we're so comfortable, we're so familiar, we're afraid to move forward, we're afraid to move on. As you said, you know, God wants to put us in a better place, but we're so, that fear grips us that we don't even want to move. And I think the whole thing is trusting God. Do you
mm-hmm.
trust God? Do you believe
right.
what God is saying to you? You know, because
right.
we know the enemy will put that doubt in, but, you know, faith. The Bible says now faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the substance of things over and the evidence of the things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we can't see it, but we still have to trust God that God said he's going to do it. So we have to trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. His word can't turn back onto him void. It has
no.
to accomplish what he's
okay.
got to do.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen. I said, okay, minister, I got you. Amen. Amen. Good
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Good word. Amen. I thank you
and
so
I'm
much.
One who I, you know, I can testify. I'm one who hold on sometimes to the things in the past when God is telling me to move forward to some other things. And like I said,
yeah, come
it's
on,
out
come
of
on, come on over here. Amen.
Huh?
Amen. Come on over here and help us. Come on, girl. I'm joking. Come on.
And you know, you've been telling me that for a while. And like I said, you know, some things is out of fear. Some things are because we're comfortable where we are and we can't see. And like I said, faith is not based on what we see. You know, it's trusting and believing in God and what he's going to do. You know, and that's why a lot of times we think our ministry is at this place, but God wants to move us someplace else. And our ministry is not even where we think it's supposed to be.
I agree. What you think, Lovey? What you think? What you thinking over there?
I was thinking how minister was talking about Lot and yeah and his wife. You know, the Lord immediately said, you know, when we turn around and look back from the things that he done pulled us from or turned us to turn away from, the enemy is so conniving.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all in our flesh, we turn back and look and our eyes get stuck. That's when we
yeah.
get stuck. Because
yeah.
our eyes got stuck. First of all, God said, don't look back. So what you're doing,
yeah.
we're rebelling against God. You look back and you got stuck, and now all of a sudden, we're seeing some stuff we weren't supposed to be seeing.
Woo!
You know, we done noticed some stuff we weren't supposed to be noticing. You know, it's like walking down the street, you know, with your husband or your wife, and he turn around and take a double take. I can't speak for nobody else but mine. He know I don't play that. So I'm just saying, you know, when we look at something that, you know, we're taking double takes and God said, don't you look back there because that's the setup from the enemy. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to be careful with that stuff. Watch what we see. And like you were saying with the familiar spirit, why am I going to look back on where I came from and get stuck? I thank God. Let me clear
mm-hmm.
that up. I thank God for where he brought me from. But I'm not about to look back and stay there because God, he wants me to look forward because his plan is going forward, not backwards. So that's an awesome
that's,
word. Thank you for
we,
sharing that.
You said that's why we go through a lot of things that we don't have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But out of our disobedience, out
mm-hmm.
of our rebellions, which it is witchcraft because it's rebellion.
Witchcraft.
Right.
That's
rebellious selves. We go through things that we don't even have to go through because of we want to keep looking back there. And God keeps saying, why, you know, you keep looking back, you're going to run into something that you wouldn't have them, you don't want to run into.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
That's why we put ourselves through things, unnecessary things that we don't even have to go
things.
Through. Because
Amen.
We keep,
Amen.
Look, because we don't want to let go of certain things because we keep putting, you know, it's okay. You know, when you're looking back there, it is okay to look back there when you are remembering when. I remember when, but now God has brought me here.
That's
I remember it. When I was a drug addict, but now I'm here. You know,
right.
No longer that. It's okay. Now, I don't want people to think that it's not okay to look back, but you
right.
don't look back to stay back there. You look
right.
back to remember when where God has brought you from and
to
has brought
thankful.
You now today.
To be thankful. To be thankful. You
That's
look
right.
back where God brought you from to be thankful.
Right.
To tell somebody,
right.
listen, you look back. And you tell somebody after you have come through, because you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, my one of my favorite lines, scriptures in the Bible, when Jesus told Simon, Simon, Satan desires to sift you unto wheat, but I'm praying
mm-hmm.
that your feet will not fail you, that when you have overcome, strengthen your
mm-hmm.
brother. Listen
mm-hmm.
now, the reason now mm-hmm. that I have overcome and I'm looking back is to tell my sister, listen, God had asked me to move to Texas, and I held on, and I talked about my job, but I went forth and I did it, and this marvelous thing happened. God moved spectacularly. Glory be to God, because I was obedient to God. See,
mm-hmm.
I have overcome fear of being in the familiar, of being in Boston. Come on now, I have overcome that. So now I can tell you, if God told you to move from Atlanta to Orlando, you do it. And trust God
right.
with the unknown, because God knows all. See, when we belong to God, my wonderful, beautiful sisters, when we belong to God, he loves us. Now, Lovey is a loving woman. She loves her family. I love my family to life, and I know you love your family too. Now, would you send your son someplace to hurt him? Would you send your daughter someplace to hurt them? You are all about your children, and you want the best for your children. But we don't understand that God loves us in such a way that he wants the best for us. He so much so loves us that he gave up his only son. He came out the comfort zone. Come on. Love brings you out the comfort zone sometimes. He came out the comfort zone, and then his son loved us so much, he came out the comfort zone of losing contact with his father when he took on our sin. Now, if God, in his infinite wisdom and his love for us, gave us his son, why would God send us to a place to destroy us? God's
right.
intention is not to destroy. Come on, somebody. God's motive is not to destroy. God told us in James that you're going to go through trials of many kinds. But my beloved children, it is not to destroy you, but to bring you to maturity so you can handle what I got for you. Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. So everything that God is doing in our lives right now, as long as we are in obedience, listen, as long as that we are in obedience, he's all a party of it. He's going forth, and he's making the crooked way straight. But if we're in rebellion, listen, and all kinds of things happening, and you're going to say, oh, you know she working witchcraft on me. Oh, he working witchcraft on me. No, buddy. No, sister. You working witchcraft on yourself.
On yourself.
Because
right.
God is not in it. The anointing has left the place. Come on. It might be the anointing might be in the same place for sister so-and-so and brother D, but guess what? The anointing has risen off of you in that place. Come on. And you might see everybody flowing, and you don't understand. I don't understand. This church is different. I don't understand. This place is different. Yeah, it's different because God is trying to get your attention. You know he told you to move. You know he told you to leave that thing alone, but you're holding on. So now all hell has broken loose in your life, and you are whining and complaining that people are working witchcraft. You in your rebellious state is working your own witchcraft on yourself. All right now. Real talk, right? You call
real talk?
Real talk.
Real talk.
So I'm talking real. Now, ain't nobody working, ain't not everybody, listen, and who can work witchcraft on God's children? What? The weapon will form, but they cannot prosper. Why? Because you have a protective, a hedge round about you, that when the enemy comes on the armor, sends it back, right? It
same. So therefore, that witchcraft that somebody's working ain't working, but the witchcraft that you're working on yourself working, because you know what? You're no longer in the will and the purpose of God. Oh, really? Am I making sense? Did I make some sense? Amen.
Amen.
Anybody got to ask?
No, I just hear the Spirit of God saying, you know, that his people, if we stop focusing on everybody else's spiritual walk, then just maybe we can get out together.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
You know, I mean, real is real. You know, we're so busy pointing fingers at everybody else. We don't want to look in the mirror at ourselves because we don't like what we see. Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, why would we look on other people and get the thrill out of what they're going through and what they're dealing with and what they're coming out of? You know what I'm saying? Only to make ourselves look better. And so God is not pleased with that. And so in this hour, he is calling us to not only let go of our dead weight, but to you know, help someone else get rid of theirs. And even if there's a spirit of religion that is roaming the earth, you know, we know the law, but we don't live the law. And we know the law, and we can quote the Bible, we can quote the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and we can tell you word for word what it says in every translation. But what does our lifestyle say? What are we letting go of? While we're pointing out what everybody else is holding on to, what are we pointing out? And God says he is not pleased with the Pharisee spirit that is running around hurting his children.
Amen.
He is not pleased with that at all. And now is the time he is calling us to step up to the plate and be the vessels of the kingdom that he has called us to be and stop hurting his people. He wants his people to be healed. But they are afraid to let go of the dead weight because some of us are so judgmental that we're rather look at them instead of looking at ourselves. And so what God wants us to do in this hour, he wants us to turn away from that hypocrisy spirit, that hypocritical spirit, that judgmental spirit, that loves you when it's convenient for me spirit, that it's me, mine, and myself going on and my family. He wants us to pull away from that. Remember, there's a spirit of unity that has to come together in the body of Christ or else it will tear up the church. Instead of the people running to the church, they're running from the church because they are hurt. They don't know how to talk to anyone because no one wants to listen. We want to judge instead of listening, and that is not of God. Jesus loves his kids. He loves his children. That's why he gave his life. Not so that we can send people back to hell. He loves us, and he gave of his life for us. And so until we walk in love and stop pointing the finger at the people of God and stop pointing the finger at the people who are trying to come back to the church, and we are the church, it's not the four walls, then we're going to lose the people in this hour. And so letting go of the dead, it doesn't mean letting it go and dropping it on somebody else. That means we need to let it go and let God. Not just to say it. We need to let it go and let God do what he needs to do and remind ourselves that we are vessels. We are not God. And that's what God wants his people to hear in this hour. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lovey, you just preach a sermon. Anyhow.
Well,
that's so true. But listen, I have experienced people that will say that they'll be there for you. And it's not about you, it's about them. It's as long as you're doing for them. But our mindset has to change. We gotta be kingdom thinkers and kingdom doers. It's all about God. It's all about God and loving on each other. You're so right. Loving on each other, respecting each other. But listen, stop saying somebody's doing something to you when it's you that needs to check yourself. That's the bottom line. Stop pointing fingers. And listen to me. When an incident happens, I like to internalize. You have to internalize. You should have a daily talk with you and God about you. And allow God to really say, God, be honest. And I know you're going to straight up tell me. Just don't. Just let me know what's wrong with me. And sometimes, as Lovey said, it's not cute. It's not cute. Because you can think that you're the most loving person in the world, and then God got an issue with you. Because sometimes you're loving to get. I've been there. You can't love people to get from them. You can't say I love you, and then when an incident happens, you're nowhere to be found. The encouragement that you used to give, it's not there anymore. We gotta love sincerely.
Love, the agape love is sincere. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's not, it does not accuse, and it's not suspicious. We need to use discernment. We have to use discernment. Let go of anything that God is asking you to let go of because he has better. God is not telling you to let go of something because he wants to give you worse. That's not his function. God always gives you better.
Yes, he does.
If it's God.
The best.
He does. Yeah. Every good gift comes from God.
Yes,
and when God gives you something, and listen, ladies and gents, when God gives you something, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect.
Right.
That's right.
Because none of us are perfect.
Right.
But you know what? He gives you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes going through is what you need to go through so you can get through, that you could be that champion that God called you to be.
Amen.
You, each of us are champions. We were designed to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
We are more than, it's in our DNA to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So we should not allow
our inheritance. Yes.
That's right. We should not allow depression, fear, doubt, any type of sin, a rebellion, witchcraft, to hold the champion down that's inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a greatness in each and every one of God's children.
Yes.
And we got to burst forth from the comfort zone. Come out your comfort zone. I'm speaking to somebody. Come out your comfort zone, your sense of security. You're not secure when you're not in the will of God.
Mm.
There's no security there. But God has something better for you. Trust God and move forward in the Lord. And when you have done that, when you made up your mind to do that and you take that step, and God meets you right there where you at, you will understand why he told you to let it go.
Mm.
I'm speaking to somebody tonight. Let it go and truly let God, because he loves you.
Amen.
Anybody, Lovey, you want to just mess out because it's time to for us to end out?
Yeah.
And anybody that needs to pray, you can press one and let us know that you need, what you need, pray for. We have a good few people on the line. If you need prayer, Lovey will be just so happy to pray for you. And we will be so happy to join in agreement for anything that you might need tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
If not, she'll just do a corporate prayer for those that are listening. Amen.
Amen.
That's it, Lovey, okay?
That's it, okay? Father, we just thank you, God. We bless your holy name, God. You are such an awesome God. We love you, God. We thank you for this time, Lord God. And we just, Father, lift up every person who is on, every caller on the line right now in the name of Jesus, God. And I ask, Father God, that whatever they need to release, Father God, that you are tugging at them right now, God, whether it's the spirit of depression or heaviness, oppression, loneliness, hurt, disappointment, whatever it is, God, I ask in the name of Jesus, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would just continue to speak to them, God, and let them, Father God, just release it all to you, Father God, that they would yield and submit to you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everyone that is on the line, Father. I pray for a special blessing for them tonight, God, for their families, for their household. Father God, open up their ears, open up our ears, Father God, that we will hear what you say to us, Father God, so that we will move in alignment with you, Father God. We bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And every word that tries to come up against them, that the enemy tries to send their way and take away the word that you have planted tonight, we block it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, cover them in the name of Jesus. Give them sweet rest and sweet sleep, Father. We bless your name. We honor you, God. We praise you. We magnify you and exalt you today, God. You are such an awesome God, and thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for keeping the airways clear, Father. In Jesus' name, we bless your name. We honor you, and we lift up every leader tonight as they go, Father God, and rest and then go before your people tomorrow, Father God. Let them not speak nothing you have not released. Let them not add anything to it, but only speak
speak what you have given them to speak in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen,
and amen. God bless you all. If you
God
need
bless
pray,
you all.
Anyone that has our number, you can just send a message that you need prayer, and we will be praying for you. I love
amen.
You, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and I pray that something we said touch your heart and that you can take it with you wherever you go and walk in God's
amen.
Word.
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys.
Amen. We love you all. Thank you.
Yes, love. Thank you so much.
God bless. All right. Good night.
God bless. Good night.